we said that we would read these verses at each session, so I'm going to read the verses from 1 Corinthians and Ephesians. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Ephesians 2:19-22. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." I'm going to share basically a portion of my testimony tonight. And the first has to do with me coming to hear at Fountain of Life. And I had been introduced to Fountain of Life many years ago, and I was in a difficult time. And so I was actually attending the Dutch Reformed Church in Kingston. And I was counseling with the pastor there, and I said, you know, I'm in this difficult circumstance, and I said, I really don't know what to do. And I had already, like I said, I touched base here with one of the elders. And he said, "Well, Paul, I really think you need to go to Fountain of Life." And I was, like, shocked that he would say, this is a very conservative, reformed Dutch pastor. And he said, "Well, even though I don't really believe with everything that's going on there, that I think you should go." And so I did. And so I come to Fountain of Life Church, and things were just very different. There was a lot of noise. There was a lot of activity. There was tambourines being shaken, and there was people standing and kneeling and crying and all this stuff going on in the service. And I was used to the quiet, orderly structure, you know, that was of God, right? So I was encountering a conflict of cultures. And, you know, coming into the kingdom, first of all, is a conflict of cultures because I'm coming out of the world and the kingdom of his beloved son, right? But it was pretty good because I was born and raised in a Catholic environment, so everything was structured and orderly. I knew when to stand, when to kneel, when to say hello and goodbye, and see you later. And so coming into the church, I actually came into a Nazarene church, and that was very kind of similar. You know, you come in, you know when to sit up, you sit down, and within an hour you're out the door, right? And so anyway, Fountain of Life, 2.5, 3-hour services, not the structured 1-hour service. I was definitely having a conflict of cultures. Any case, so this is one of the first things that the Lord did for me. You know, at Fountain of Life, everybody was standing up during worship, right? So I did, you know, the right thing. I stood up along with everybody else, so I didn't look like an oddball sitting down while everybody's standing up. And I'm standing and going through the motions for weeks, months, maybe even a year. And then the Lord says, "Paul, I want you to lift up your hands." And I was like, and I started having a conversation while the worship was going on. I'm having this conversation with God. "Paul, I want you to lift your hands. That's really not me. Can I just keep them down?" He said, "Paul, I want you to lift your hands." So I finally, you know, that's not too bad. Okay, so now I made my first step, right? I'm hearing from the voice of the Lord, and I'm obeying him, right? And so that goes on for several weeks. And, you know, I learned to clap a little bit. And, you know, you really need to understand. I mean, you're seeing me up here, but you really need to understand. I was very different. So the next thing the Lord shows me, here I am now raising my hands. And he says, "Paul, I want you to dance." I said, "Oh, no, I'm not going to dance." The conversation wasn't as long as the raising of the hands because I knew who was going to win the conversation. So I began to dance. And I was like, "Oh, this is actually pretty cool." See, you need to understand something. I came from an environment in the entertainment business, and I knew that, you know, loud music and all these things were meant for the bars and the clubs and the concerts. And I came into Fountain of Life and was like, this really should be in the bars and in the concerts. It's really loud and all this stuff going on. So here I am, I'm just really in this big, big conflict. So anyway, I'm going to now jump ahead a couple of years. I'm finally, you know, finally in a good place, hearing the voice of the Lord and following Him, learning my hands and dancing. And eventually, believe it or not, the Lord brought me onto the worship team. Now, I wasn't a musician, just so you know. I wasn't a musician. And He brings me on the worship team because I knew how to play a couple of chords in the home group. And so there I am on the worship team. And so my culture is changing. So anyway, I'm going to jump ahead even some more time. I was blessed to be on a mission trip with a team that went to the Philippines. And we were in this particular island and we're kind of this out in the woods type of place, and we were called to minister to this group of pastors that were being trained. And there might have been a half a dozen, maybe eight of these young men. And they're sitting outside, probably on a log or something like that, and our team was go there to minister. And the topic that was presented to them was based on a question. And the question was, what is the difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom? And, you know, the discussion went on and back and forth, and all of a sudden I had a revelation. Jesus is the box. You say, "What are you talking about?" The question meant to spur these young men to understand what God's purpose was for their ministry and not their own ministry. So let me explain. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." That has to do with me. You go to 1 John 3:16, it says, "We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." That's a little different. The first one's for me, now I'm doing it for the Lord. And that's the gospel of the kingdom. And to me, that's the foundation, is where we now lay our lives down for the Lord. That's what was actually spoken tonight. Let's get back to the box. There have been many times I've heard people in the church say that we have to get out of the box to fulfill the purpose of God. Has anybody ever heard that term? Well, we need to get out of the box. I mean, that was going around for years. Get out of the box, get out of the box. And now the Lord is saying, get in the box. Because He's the box. And He wants me to be conformed to Him. I don't have the freedom to get out of the box and do what I want. I need to be first conformed to Him. Romans 8:28. "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. But those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified." Jesus is the box, and I need to get in. Even if I have to cut some things off to get in that box, I need to be conformed to His image. So now that I feel that the Lord gave me a revelation, now at the time I didn't understand that it's actually the foundation. The foundation was the fact that I needed to become like Jesus. I needed to lay my life on that rock. But when you get in that posture and when you begin to see things, all of a sudden, things take a totally different perspective than when you're outside the box trying to figure out this whole thing about church, about the kingdom of God, and all these things. When you get on the foundation, like Wayne was sharing last night, you first have to dig a hole in the ground and then you pour the foundation, and it's from that everything is built. And it has to be according to that form. We all know that. It sounds simple, but it's so hard when you come in and you have a culture with a different foundation, and the Lord is trying to break that foundation, and He's trying to place you on His foundation. One of the first things I learned, which really transformed my life, that Jesus is a bondservant. So if I'm going to become conformed to Him, His image, I need to be conformed to a bondservant. And it's not just the servant who was hired. It was the servant who was hired, and then he was freed, and he had a decision. Do you want to go? Or do you want to stay? And if he decides to stay, that's really good. But he's got to stay for the rest of his life with all of his things. And then they take his ear, put it up to a tree, and they stick an awl in it. That was a life freely given to the Master. And that's what he's requiring of everyone who comes into the that we give our life fully to Him and we become like Him, being a bondservant. That's such a foundational truth. Also, while I'm on the foundation, I observe that there is one body, there is one church. And we've heard a lot about unity, and we're talking about diversity and things like this going on and conflicts. But you know, being on the foundation, I can confidently say this. And you can say this too. I am part of a church of over 2 billion people. I have outreach. The church I attend has outreach in almost every nation of the world. And I'm a part of that. Because that's the reality of the kingdom of God. There is only one body. There is only one church. And if I understand that in my heart and in my soul and in my mind, then all this other stuff about competition between this church and that church, and they got a children's ministry and we have a bunch of old folks and all this other stuff going on, should just totally go nowhere. Because I'm really part of a church that is affecting the whole world. And I'm a member of them just as they are a member. And I don't have to be concerned about competing or any. All that stuff gets thrown out the door. Because I'm on the foundation. And when I wasn't on the foundation, I was trying to figure out what kind of ministry should I be doing. This and that and blah, blah, blah. And I really didn't know. And I couldn't have known until I got on the foundation. And not only is there one body, but that whole body represents Jesus fully, not a piece. I was used to being in congregations where Jesus was only being represented by a pastor, maybe an evangelist, and once in a while, a teacher. But that's not who Jesus is. That's only a part of who He is. He was the apostle sent from heaven to come to here. He was the prophet that came and spoke the word of God.
Right.
He is the good news. And He's the good shepherd.
Amen.
and he's our teacher. And the world needs to see the full reflection of Jesus Christ. And I could not see that being off the foundation. When I finally said I want to be conformed to him, I began to see these things, and all these things began to make sense, and they're all being fitted together, which is exactly what Donnie was talking about, was the equipping means to be repaired, fit back into the place that they belong. And when you're there, you begin to see that. And the last thing, I mean, there's many things I've learned, but what God is making is eternal. It's not of this world. It's not of this world. It's something that came out of eternity that's on this little ball floating in space. And he says, come, follow me. Sir, sing, come. And follow me. And this is what he's going to do. Ephesians 3, 8 to 12. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom might now be made through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through him. He's using us to make a declaration, which is what Donnie spoke. Making a declaration. We're not saying if. We're making a declaration to the powers and principalities that are just trying to wreak havoc in this earth. And here we are. We're making a proclamation by being conformed to the image of Jesus and laying our life on that foundation and say, Lord, consume me. I'm your sacrifice. Here I am. I turn the rest of my time over to him. He'll fill in the blanks.
I figured you should just keep going.
Yeah.
Isn't the Lord good?
Yes.
Well, this is a conference, isn't it? Were y'all falling asleep? You know, can you think about people, a lot of people, and how they feel about worshiping as long as we have, in the ways that we have? It can be very exhausting to folks that are not used to spending time with Jesus. And yet, it brings some clarity about spending. How could the church have spent a whole day, you know, with Jesus? Well, you start getting a picture of what that looks like. And I think Paul sharing this perspective of the conflict of cultures that he experienced in his life is very real in what is going on. I've been sharing a series back home called Living with an Eternal Perspective. And living now, but knowing where we're going. And I think like Bertha said, you know, just, I'm going to just open the door and step into a different place. And that was so true. So, I found that, and Paul was talking about the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of salvation. And any time we pray, may thy kingdom come here on earth like it is in heaven, and begin to implement that, it brings a conflict of kingdoms. It brings a conflict between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world, and it brings a conflict of kingdom between the kingdom of God and the religious kingdom. Religious kingdom wants everything done just a particular way, and you know, if you go too long, you get to hook. And yet, what if the Lord wants to do what he wants to do? Can we really let that happen? No other foundation can be laid than that foundation which is laid. And so Donnie was sharing last night, other foundations have been laid. Foundations of men, gifted men. Foundations of organizationalism and denominationalism. Foundations of methodology and theologies. Is that right? How many of us have experienced that? One way or another. But somehow, we know there was more. Somehow, there was something in us that was saying there's more than this. It's what Romans 8 is all about. All creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. And it said, and Paul said, and we ourselves know within ourselves. And it says even the Holy Spirit groans. All creation knows there's more than the religious picture we've been given. We know it. The Holy Spirit desires us to bring us into more than what we're used to. The question is, will you bend the knee? It's interesting to me that what Jesus brought and then what emerged was two different things. If you remember when Jesus came and established his kingdom and ascended, there was a period of 300 years, okay, where there was a stripping. If you want to know what that looks like, read the book of Joel in light of the church age. Read the book of Joel and look at what the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, and the stripping that took place. And then he goes on and says, it almost made my vine a waste. It says the fig tree, the branches become white. So what Jesus came, it almost looked like what came out of that was wrong. And so if you really wonder how that happened,
if you read the disciples of the apostles, like Ignatius, Polycarp, Clement, you know, these type of guys, you'll see that as you read them, there's already something changing. And the three things I have seen changing in the first 300 years are a lack of the spontaneity of the Holy Spirit, a separation between clergy and laity that is not biblical, and a removal of apostolic authority. It was a progression of the deterioration of the church going into the 3rd century. And by the 3rd century, there was so much confusion with the Gnostic heresy and everything that they had to pull together all the leadership of the church at that time at the Council of Nicaea in 314 AD. And they came up with the Roman Catholic Apostolic Church. It's a little different than the Catholic Church. But they came up with that. And that's where they came up with the Nicene Creed, or the Apostles' Creed, whatever you look at, making a statement of what the church believed. And then, off into the Dark Ages, the church. And in its darkest moment, the Bible changed in all. and no one was allowed to read them except certain people assigned the purpose. Anyone who was caught reading the Bible to themselves was burned at the stake as a heretic or a warlock. So during this period of deterioration, this stripping of biblical truth that was taking place, they no longer needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They no longer needed apostles and prophets. And if you study it, look at it, what surfaced was a religious spirit. It was always there. It was a religious spirit that broke loose. It was a religious spirit that persecuted each of the apostles and killed them. Except for John. They did it that way. According to Saul of Tarsus, who was a man that came out of the wilderness, right? And according to him, he had to go to Tarsus and unlearn and relearn for 3 years. And when we see him resurface, he begins to really carry the mantle that he can do with God and the purposes. And when he saw a church like the Galatian church, which is actually a Greek church, as he began to see what was going on there, there were Judaizers who came in. And they began to claim they were Christians, but they began to bring law back into the church. That you needed to be circumcised to be saved. I'll show you something. Very popular for what he had to say. And he wrote to him. And he said in verse 19 of chapter 3, "My children, with whom I begin in labor until Christ is formed in me." We were talking this morning about discipleship and how that is a good water again. And he says in verse, "Tell me you want to be of the law. Do you listen to the law? It is written that Abraham had 2 sons, one by the bondwoman, one by the free. And the son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son of the free woman through the promise. This is how the Lord is speaking. For these women are 2 covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, being bearing children who are enslaved to Hagar. And now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present. But the truth of God is free. She is out. And move down to verse 3. But as it was at that time, he was born according to the flesh, persecuted. He was born according to the Spirit. So it is now possible. Anytime the church tries to be free and moves like we're moving here, you get the naysayers. You get the religious spirit rising up. You can't do that. You're going too long. You're going to wear out people. You're going to bam, 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 bam. And yet, as you begin to move in the things of the Spirit, you get freer and freer. And all of a sudden, God begins to speak through everybody. Not through just the selected few. A religious spirit will kill the life. That's why Paul said in Galatians 5:1, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not not be subject to the yoke of slavery. It was for freedom that Christ said. And how do you know? None of this was done by spirit. Is that right? That's why it prophesied the joke, the stripping would happen. If you go on and read the rest of the book, it said, blow a trumpet in Zion. Didn't Don talk about blowing a trumpet? Blow a trumpet in Zion. It says, consecrate the assembly. And God will make up for the years of this one stripping, not that. Quite a conflict of kingdoms taking place there, isn't it? See, there is definitely a difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of kingdom. The gospel of salvation is mentioned one time in the Bible. Ephesians 1:13. Every other place, it's the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the difference is, in the gospel of salvation, Jesus dies for you. In the gospel of the kingdom, you die for him. And that's why people don't want discipleship, because Jesus was clear. You can't be my disciple unless you hate your mother, father, sister, brother, your own life, all your possessions. People are like, ew. It got out of the Bible. But if you look at Acts 3, this is preaching, this is the promise. Acts 3, verse 19. Repent therefore and return that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that he might send Jesus, the Christ, appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of the restoration of all things, which God spoke by the mouth of the Lord. Heaven is retaining Jesus until the period of the restoration of all things. What things? Those things that have been stripped out of the life of the church. All throughout the church age. From 1500 until 1500, when Martin Luther got a revelation of justification by faith. Remember that? He was a Catholic priest. He got a revelation of justification by faith. He came out of the Catholic Church, and he changed it from works to faith. He changed it from being celibate to being able to get married, from being called a priest to being called a pastor. For 400 years, that shocked the religious people and brought great pain. But I'm telling you, every time God moves, the enemy reacts. Is that right? And when you speak to a spirit, what does it do? It manifests. Things happen. And I look for that. So, for 400 years, get this change. And then in 1905 to about 1948, there was the baptism of the Holy Spirit at Azusa Street with a man named Samuel. Cry out to God. And when God began to move and pour out his spirit, he was a black man, and you don't do those things. The Holy Spirit was poured out. And Satan reacted. And there was World War I and World War II. And let's get the focus off of that. And let's put the focus on what's going on in the world. Let's get our focus off of that. So, that went on for a few years, right? Then from 1948 to 1955, evangelism continues with the Latter Rain. The Latter Rain movement. With Erskine Houghton, the Houghton brothers. And the Restoration of Healing with William Branham, Jack Coe, A.A. Allen, along with the spontaneity of the Holy Spirit in that Israel became a nation again. So God's moving, so Satan reacts. Now let's get the focus off of what God is doing. Then in 1965 to 75, there was a charismatic renewal upon the Catholic Church. And teachers began to emerge with discipleship emphasis, like Bob Funker, Vern Baxter, Charles Simpson, Derek Prince, and Deliverance with Frank Campbell. He came out with a book and said, I don't believe there's a demon behind every book. I think there's dead. And that happened at the same time that the Six-Day War, when Jerusalem was restored, and the Vietnam conflict began. The signs of the times. We should recognize what was happening, what was going on. And then, from 1975 right up to the present, this is the third wave where the evangelicals began to come into the fullness of the Spirit. Prayer with Larry Lee. Signs and wonders with who? John Wimber. Morality of Leaders with Maynard Howe, Charles Schmidt, Dale Rumble. Restoration of the Prophetic Ministry with Rick Joyner, Bob Jones, Paul Kane, C.L. Moore, Laddie McDonough. Spiritual Warfare with Francis Frantzkamp. Restoration of Distinguishing Spirits with John Arnott. Evangelism and the Miraculous in Brownsville. Power Evangelism with Bill Johnson. Power and Love with Todd White. And a coming Apostolic Restoration. See what's going on. Recognize that when God moves, the enemy moves. Coming with gifted men or gifted leaders or a gifted movement of truth. The next move, according to Revelation 19, is the church. The body coming together in all its glory. That's what we've been talking about. The apostolic prophetic ministry was taken out of play until such a time as this, so that we can come back in and begin to recognize apostles and prophets lay the foundation of Jesus himself in the heart of individual people and in the corporate structure of the church. So we're all on that path. And then he can do that. And again, as the church is falling into freedom, the enemy reacts. And all of a sudden we have Russia invading the Ukraine. I mean, recognize what's going on. When God moves, the enemy moves. And he tries to move our focus away from what God is doing. He knows his time is short. He's been defeated. So when all this was happening, Lord Mike was telling me how they still had to go over there and drink the soup. There were still Christians in Russia. Christians in the Ukraine. And they had to get them the support. And what he said was the Ukraine was the most evangelical country in all of Europe. You don't think something was happening there? And so there was this great dispersion of over 5 million people while the country tried to defend itself, and they were dispersed all throughout the world. Very much like in the persecution of Stephen. Come on. Because the church got really comfortable with 3,000 and then 5,000 in Jerusalem, and there was a difference between Acts 1:8 and Acts 8:1. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "For it is stoned to death, they were all cursed. Arrogant,
terrible,
like God told them to. And is it possible that among those 5 million people that were dispersed from a country that was the most evangelical, that they weren't dispersed into homes all throughout Europe? Shine on. Therefore, you see, therefore, he was therefore. He said that to say this. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. That word for making the most, this is the word ekdagoras. It actually means to redeem. Or buy up for yourself your time. That word is not chronos, meaning succession of time. The word that Paul used there was kairos, a particular epoch of time. This tells me, wake up and redeem your particular epoch of time. I don't know what happened up until 1946. But I can tell you from 1946 to now, I've been placed in this particular epoch of time, and so have you. And the challenge for us is to buy up this epoch of time. The challenge for us is let the kingdom come in our particular kairos. So then, verse 17, don't be moronic. We hear that. Don't be foolish, but understand who the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine. That's dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. Or constantly be filled with the Spirit. You couldn't come to this conference and leave here not filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. All these in all things, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, even the Father. Loves us. What is he telling us that? Wasn't he saying in the prophetic ministry? I like this. I love this. This is so cool. While everything else is blowing apart. Like a good Bible student. I researched the Bible, but missions wasn't in it. And so that caused me to begin to research. Why do we call everything missions? been trying to take place for this. It's a word that folks came up with because they had dispensationalized the apostolic ministry. That should cease. That says the five core ministers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, are gifts. You think God is an Indian giver? I'm going to give you gifts, I'm taking place. He gave us those gifts to equip the body for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there's a process where that happens, and we need those fivefold functions. They're not positions. If they become a position, then you've got to protect it and guard it. But if it's an equipping function, then you're equipping the body until they go by you. How are you going to feel about So I looked at Bert and I said, Bert, what do you think it stopped for? She said, pride. I said, what? The man put his hands on it, God took his hands on it. And that's exactly what happens. In all these pieces of truth that God has restored for the sake of the body that man grabs hold of and takes credit of. Builds himself a ministry in it. But it's for the body. For the church.
Some are preachers.
big enough to see what was taking place. We should be too. And I'll tell you what, I don't think that. I want God, what God is doing. That he can live and move and have a freedom to be in his body like we see here. We shall. I can't wait until next year we have another conference with you. What? You should be getting equipped so that you can do it. You know, in your local church and be a witness. And allow Christ to be seen in your life, in your gatherings. Jesus didn't say stop building and talk about it. It's not virtual reality. It's reality. We need to preach Christianity, go into all the nations, and preach the gospel, and represent his kingdom. May it come in power. And know that if we pray, may your kingdom come right here on earth like it is in heaven, and we start implementing that, it's going to get hit. And like Paul was preaching, there comes this conflict of culture. Well, what are you going to do? Stiff in your neck or bow your knee? We're apostolic in the sense of function. It's not a position. And not everybody that is apostolic. Should be apostolic. Just like every New Testament church should be prophetic. Every New Testament church should be evangelistic. Every New Testament church should be prophetic. It's about the business. There's a difference between the ministry of an evangelist and an apostle. An evangelist, the gospel of salvation to individuals. But an apostle brings the gospel of the kingdom to sinners. Jesus said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent. Well, that's part of it, but that's not the only part of it. The Vern Bronte talks about the big book that shows the line right up to heaven, and he shows where the life of the person, and all of a sudden that person, you know, all guys fall in recovery. Well, what about if he hadn't fallen? What about what would have happened if he kept going? I remember as a young man, I was riding a boat, new Christian, and I liked picking up these guys walking the street because I could sell them pieces. That's what I did then. Back, that whole family was gone. I went looking for them and found the guys in the trunk. You know, you never seen the trunk. Anyway, sure. Here's this guy just drunk and stuck. And I walk up to him and I said, Bob, what are you doing? He looked up and said, oh, I always remember me. You saved me. did, the Lord said to me, I didn't say that. You did. Change something. So as God was dealing with me, I remember driving the roof, and I picked up this old guy walking down the street. And I'm driving in my car, and I'm driving, hey, it's a green awesome. And so he said, pull over here. So I pull over. And he says, you really love the Lord. He didn't wait long for me. Foundation was laid by apostles and prophets. And Wayne was talking about that the apostles and prophets, the prophets get you to hear the voice of God, and the apostles get you to apply and act on the word of God that you heard. They work together. Hearing and acting. Hearing and function. That's what the story of the wise man building his house on a firm foundation. Building on the foundation. Jesus. But he hears and he acts. The prodigal is the one that hears, but he doesn't act on it. And so his house crumbles. Here in Luke 9, we have the story of the sending of the 12 apostles. It says in verse 1, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over the demons and the healed. And he sent them out. Like Johnny was saying, to proclaim the kingdom of God. Do you proclaim the kingdom? And to perform healing, and he said, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff or a bag or bread or money, and do not even have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there and take your leave. As for those who don't receive you, go out from them, shake the dust off your feet. So that was Jesus equipping apostles to do apostolic ministry. Now in Luke 10 it says, now afterwards, the Lord appointed 70 others. You mean there were 82 apostles? Go on. The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every city and place where Israel was going to come. In Luke 9, he was equipping apostles. In Luke 10, he was equipping the body to be apostolic. Well, we got to get an apostle who will go out and get this. When did you go out and get it? When did you start extending? How would I do that? Start in your house. Start in your house. Wherever two or three are gathered. The harvest is plentiful and the labor is few. hath beseeched the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs into the midst of the wolf. Carry no purse, no bag, no shoes. Greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. And if not, he will return. Stay in that house, eating and drinking. But they give you labor. And whatever city you enter, they receive you, eat what is set before you, and heal those in it, and the sick, and say to them, the kingdom has come near. But whatever city you enter, and they don't receive you, go out into the street, even the dust of your city, with cleansed our feet, wipe off the protest against you, that ensure this, the kingdom of God. Words that Carrie went out to breakfast a couple of weeks ago. All the gals were in the bathroom. Mike and I were sitting here in the bathroom. And so we said, I said, Phil, how are you doing?
Not good.
What's the matter?
Well, I had a heart attack.
Ooh. You ready to die? No. Great. So let me tell you about your now. Did it anyway in our prayer. But when I got done, he gave me the prune look. You know, I said, continue. Continue. Oh. Sit right here like I'm giving you an answer. Sit right here like I'm one of the leaders. Demonstration in power, that your faith not rest on men, but on the power of God. That it doesn't rest on the wisdom of men, but it rests on the power of God. Getting ready. Even though there was still fog, which he was going to deal with and deal with. He owns the earth and all that is in it. He wants you to release ownership and embrace stewardship. I remember the Lord teaching me that, and I was saying, Lord, and the Lord said to me, oh, I'm not coming. 35 times. Good, I'll take it. But he got in the wall. Good, I'll take it. Lord, I'm taking my $35 and 30 miles. Good after the night. Oh, you got money in the bank? I'll take it. Take the money, got the bank, come up and pay my mortgage. Oh, you have a house, do you? I'll take it. If you take the house, my wife and seven kids will have to sleep in one of the two cars. Oh, you got two automobiles and a wife and seven kids? I'll take it. And I'm standing. Lord said, do you get it on? He said, no. He said, it's all mine. Isn't it all mine? Have I not given you the job? Have I not given you everything that you have? Yes, Lord. He said, then release ownership to me and embrace stewardship. Here's your wife and seven kids. Take care of them like they're mine. Here's your automobiles and your house. Take care of them like they're mine. Here's your money. Here's your life. Take care of it like they're mine. And when I release that, when I release ownership, stewardship.
Last scripture, 1 Corinthians, where Donnie left off.
Lining up with them. Paul was saying, don't do that. Line up with me. And so then he concludes. He begins in chapter 3, verse 21. He says, so then let no one boast in the name. For all things belong, all things. Whether Paul or Apollos, the chiefest of the world, or life or death, or things present, or things to come, all things belong to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Let a man regard us then in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of heaven. Are you a servant and a steward? And in this case, there is one thing required. My ministry. What I've done. Look what I have. What do you see that is not revealed? The equipping that Donnie was pointing out, the integrating of the saints into the body, being integrated into the body or just. It's for the integrating of the saints. It's for equipping the body to be the body. For the work of service. Teach them how to serve. And the building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a maturement to the measure of the stature that belongs to the fullness. I want my class filled and running out all the time. That's fullness. And he says, verse 14, we should underline this. There's a result of the equipping of the body for bodies. It says, as a result, you'll no longer be children. The word why? Because you'll be equipped to serve. You'll no longer be children tossed here and there by waves. Like, let's catch the next wave of truth, brethren. Like we're surfing Christians. I don't want to go from touch to touch. I want permanence. I want fullness. By every wind of doctrine, here comes the next doctrine now. This preach, everybody starts buying into it. By the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. That's the result of getting good at being a father. You know, all this joke no longer talks. No longer, huh? I've got a big of the time. You're out. Preach. God loved you so much, you died for it. If we know that he died for us, we know love by this, that we should lay down our lives. When there's an expression of a body of people laying down their lives for each other, and people come in, and you see it, it's a woman out of here. Who's in charge? Jesus. Who really? He really is. But what do you believe? We believe the Bible. Well, what part of the Bible? Every part of the Bible. Don't you see what they're doing? Wake up. Let Christ shine through us. But start speaking the truth in love. There's that whole emphasis on love. We are to grow up in every aspect into Him who is the head, even Christ. The Christianos is forming. Until you look like little Christ. An interesting story. You look in the Bible. Christian is not mentioned until Acts 11. What is mentioned up to Acts 11 is disciples, our believers, people of the way. Hallelujah. And it says in Acts 11, because it was first, and the Christians were first called, and the disciples were first called Christian in Antioch. That word Christianos means Christ can be seen. You talk about a watering down, a stripping. So what do we do today? We go out and meet somebody from the Lord. This is your truth. Love is open.
I let another 5 guys to the Lord.
I had a young guy that I was discipling. He came to me and he went around the street with my dead friend. He started with him. That's a go make disciples except the homeless. Oh.
follow signs. Signs were following. You saw what was happening yesterday in the Super Bowl. That's God moving in on us. Confirming, sharing, encouraging, consoling, exhorting, giving perspective. It's a place for being equipped and trained. A lot of this is not new. It's strange. And so God has just come before you. I wonder how many of us were never really discipled. You can be discipled by sitting and preaching the word that's upon you. But there also has to be the application of what you're learning. It's not even Hallelujah. And Lord, I believe that some of us, we've thrown away, thrown around that ownership word to get people to do something. Lord, keep it simple. You're the owner. We're servants and stewards. And what a privilege to be servants and stewards of Christ. And all you require is that we would be trustworthy. Worthy of the trust that you've given to us to represent your kingdom, and we're willing to lay our lives down. And whatever you ask. He says, wake up, and Christ will shine on you. If Christianity has been going down to a building, listening to sermons you never knew it, do anything with, that's religious. God wants us to be actively involved in the extending of his kingdom in every city and town around this area. And if you live in another city or town, God's placed you there to bring the kingdom. Thank you for your mercy. Your mercy is greater than your judgment. If you're convicting us, it's very easy to get out from under that conviction. All we have to do is repent. And when we repent, that means we make an adjustment in what we're repenting. If we're going that way, we need to start going now. Lord, speak to our heart right now. If God speaks, about the kingdom. He wants the kingdom to come in power. And he wants to use you. And you're willing to do whatever it takes. Not you stand up. If you've been holding on, you've only seen ownership. You haven't seen this is a stewardship that has been given to you. A steward of the mysteries. What a privilege to acknowledge.
repent of ownership and stand and embrace worship of God. God, we stand. Not because we have it all together, but because we don't. We stand because we see in a mirror dimly. But Lord, we want to see more face to face. We want to see your kingdom come in a reality, Lord, in our lives, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our churches. Wherever we go, there will be a representation of your kingdom. And we may not be called to be apostles, but we are called to be apostolic. We may not all be called to be prophets, but we're all to be prophetic. So God, I pray you invade our lives now. See our repentance, God. Hear our cry. Now hear the Lord saying, I forgive you, I love you, I forgive you. I forgive you. But now turn and go the other way. Now align yourself to what you're repenting for and do the things you first did. And watch what I will do with your life, says the Lord. You're never too old, you're never too young. Hallelujah. God constantly speaks to us right where we are. God, you're great. You're awesome. Thank you for the full picture of what you're doing and how the enemy hates it. And God, we know when we leave here, we're going to be attacked. We know that the enemy is going to come and try to steal what has been sold in us. Hallelujah. Forgiven in the name of Jesus. Release ownership and embrace stewardship. Hallelujah. And give yourself to what God has called you to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't look back. Remember what it's about. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. He's worthy of our praise.